In the book of Peter, we've been studying over these last 109 weeks the path of Peter as the Lord led him from the time he called him next to the sea, where he said, "Come, follow me." And he spoke with the power of God, and Peter immediately left all and followed the Lord Jesus. From that point on till now, to where Peter is sitting down and penning these two letters. And we began last week looking, we finally have come to the first letter of the Apostle Peter, where we've been looking for some time at that path that I just told you about. And now we hope to spend some time with God, with a God-given understanding of Peter's written words. We began in verse 1 of chapter 1 last week, considering Peter's appointment. He was appointed an apostle. And I bring to your attention one more detail before we move on from that. If you missed it last week, I believe it was recorded and it can be provided to you. But did you notice in the title that we see there, Peter, an apostle, that the title is actually secondary? He says, Peter. I'm the one, Peter, who is writing this letter. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I'm an apostle. I don't want that position to be put up in front of my name, is what he's saying. I understand that. Polly and I have recently had a conversation, and I realize that no way will you ever change my mind about calling my pastor Gene Harmon Pastor Gene. He's just my pastor. That's all there is to it. And he's gotten accustomed to people calling him pastor. Well, I haven't been a pastor for very long, and I was telling Polly the other day, I was like, Polly, you know, I love you, sweetheart, but just call me John. I'm just John, you know. And I don't mean to take away from her anything, any of her meaning behind calling me pastor, but it feels weird. Well, Peter, this is the way God's preachers are, though. You see, the title doesn't come to me. The title doesn't come to Peter. Peter is bringing our attention to the fact that, yes, I'm an apostle, but what's more important is here I am a son of God, a child of the Most High, writing to you some things that I have learned, some things that I have experienced. It's not even capitalized, if you notice. This is a humbling, but it's a humbling of our Creator. This is a beggar over in the corner seeking mercy. Peter recognizes his appointment as being a minor thing. Brother Don Fortner brought it out in one of our recent Bible studies. He says, there are many brethren and sisters in Christ that you and I would esteem as more than ourselves. That they are strong in the faith, you might say, yet we would never see ourselves as one who would be or should be esteemed. No, as children of the Most High, our sinfulness keeps us humble. We know what this flesh is. And knowing what this flesh is, we know that we have no right to be called anything in front of He who is everything. Our sinfulness keeps us humble. Our weakness brings us low. We are brought to understand that our place in this life is a place of mercy. Everything that we have has been received because of mercy. If left to ourselves, we know that we would go the way of destruction and deserve nothing but God's wrath. It is in this way the glory of God's mercy is magnified. As John the Baptist put it, he declares in John chapter 3, verse 30, He must increase, I must decrease. People had taken John the Baptist and raised him up on this high pedestal and said, oh, we're followers of John the Baptist. Excuse me. I knew that would come eventually. Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate the while. Folks, I get a little excited. I get a little excited because I love to, and I know I tell you this every week, but I love to tell you about our Lord's mercy and grace.
Amen.
Because it's what satisfies me most. To know that my Lord loves me and is merciful to me, and His grace is poured out upon this poor sinner who deserves nothing but His wrath. John the Baptist, who had been raised up on a pedestal by the people, says he must increase and I must decrease. That's in John 3, verse 30, recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 7. John the Baptist, it says, preached, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchest of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Next we see in Peter's address, it is to a people. In verse 2, read verse 2 with me if you would. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Oh no, I'm sorry. Back in verse 1. An apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Peter's address is to these people, God's people, who are scattered throughout many lands. He calls them strangers. Well, this is because they're not of these lands. They are foreigners. Sojourners, as Abraham was made. Did you know Abraham had a land that he was of one time? He was of the land of Canaan, wasn't he? Was it not the Lord who made him to go out and become a sojourner? Traveling about? He says, where am I supposed to go? I don't know. Well, the Lord knows, but you won't know until I tell you. We're sojourners in this world. We're pilgrims in a strange land. These lands are not our homeland. This world is not my home, we sing. I'm just passing through. We're strangers to this land that we are in, and we are in the world, but we are not of this world. Then in verse 2, Peter calls them, the ones that he's addressing, these strangers who are scattered throughout, he calls them elect. Called of God is what that means. Chosen to be recipients of His love. A people, if left to their own, would not come to Him. A people who had no ability to come. They were bankrupt, dead, and a people like all other people, unwilling to come to the light. For the light shineth the truth, and the truth exposes our sinfulness. Oh, I'm not as sinful as that person, we used to say. I was never as bad as that guy who ate people's flesh. I was never as bad as that guy who killed all the Jews in Germany. I was never as bad as that guy next door who treated his children a certain way. No. I was not that bad of a sinner. Aren't you thankful that we were? And that we are, and that our Lord has revealed this truth to us, that we might seek a Savior. In John 3, verse 19 through 20, we read these words, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's what that means, lest his deeds of evil should be exposed. Mark your text here, if you would, in Peter. We'll come back to this. Turn over to the 9th chapter of Romans for just a moment. Our Lord chose His people before the foundation of all creation. Before any were born, before we were ever committed, before we had ever committed good or evil. In the book of Ephesians, you don't need to turn there, we read in chapter 1, verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, He the Father hath chosen us in His Son, the Lord Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Now look with me, we're at verse 11 through 24 of Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, beginning at verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. There we go. That's that elect. Continuing on, we read, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now back to our text in 1 Peter. And look again with me at verse 2. First Peter chapter 2, elect according to. According to what? Doesn't say not elect to whoever decides, but according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. The word elect here is used is called. Called in according to what? According to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you see anything in there where you and I can be participants of? Was there anything there that you and I need to do to add to that, to make it better? How can you make anything God does better? What foolishness. What foolishness John had at one time. What is it called according to? It's according to the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, this elect, and peace be multiplied. When we read 1 Peter 1 verse 2 and we read that word elect, Henry Mahan writes this. He says, believers are called the elect because God has chosen us to salvation. Turn again, if you would, to the book of Romans, this time to Romans chapter 11, of which I just moved my marker out of the way. Romans chapter 11. And look with me at verses 5 and 7. We're talking about God's elect here. 5 through 7 of Romans chapter 11. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to election, the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Next, we want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just a few pages to the right. And while you're turning there to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, allow me to read from Mark 13, or 2 Thessalonians 2:13, where it says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And then in Mark 13, verse 20, we read these words, and except that the Lord hath shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Another verse you might want to know well, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. One other one, if I could please, Acts chapter 13, 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained, as many as were chosen, as many were predestined to eternal life, believed. Now look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 30. But God, hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. This is the elect. Of him are ye in him. Chosen from before the foundation of the world, our names were written in the book of life before a star ever twinkled in the sky. Folks, our cause of election is an according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, some have taken that very word and they've said, well, that's because he knows everything. He looked down through time and saw what you would do. That's not what this is saying. To say that he looked down to see what you would do would mean to say that it is your willeth. It is his willeth. It is your willeth that brings it to be. But he said, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The reason for our elections are not found in us, but found only in God. Listen to the words of Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Then in Matthew 11, 25 through 26, we read these words. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and had revealed them unto babes. Why? Why would God reveal these wonderful truths to babes? Because he has loved us with an everlasting love. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Our God knows, because our God foreordains. He is the one who has set things into motion. He is the one who guides things as they motion. He is the one who causes them to eternally come and become what they are. Do we not read in Romans 8, 29 and 30, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, elected, chose. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The means that God uses to carry out the design of election are sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. The Holy Spirit quickens and convicts of sin, reveals Christ to the heart, and he works true repentance and faith in a sinner. We read in Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 14, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Turn now again, if you would, in the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and let's look at verses 13 through 17. Says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There you go. Those who call, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But wait a minute. How then shall they call on him in whom they have never believed, and whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? This is why the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified must be preached at every time a pastor stands in the pulpit and talks to God's people. Well, John, I'm already saved. I already know all that. I want to know deeper things. I want to go deep into that pool of God. Let me tell you something, folks. It's been said recently that all I do is flap around on top of the water. Yeah, I preach the gospel of Christ, but all it is flapping around on top of the water. I'm too shallow to go deep into God's word. I think those who go deep into God's word are looking for trouble. I like flapping around on the water, putting all of my cares in my Lord's hands.
Amen.
Yes.
Why do people keep coming back to this church to hear what John is saying week after week, after month after month? Why did John Reeves keep coming back to hear Pastor Gene speak the same thing for 20 years? Because that's the message that brings salvation. How are you going to call upon him whom you have not heard? How are you going to believe unless someone preaches? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Those of you who have the honor, the ability and the pleasure of sticking around for our services this morning will find that this morning's Bible study will go right hand in hand. In fact, I'm going to be referring to a lot of the books the same way I am. Not necessarily the same scriptures, but the same books. You're going to find that we're right along in line with today's message. Verse 16 we read, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The end or goal of election is obedience to Christ and to be cleansed and justified through the blood. Election is not salvation, it is unto salvation. Now these again are the words of Pastor Henry May, and I apologize for not reminding you of that earlier. Those who are elect will hear his voice and will believe on Christ and will be saved. Look over at John chapter 10, verses 24 through 28. John chapter 10, verses 24 through 28. And we'll wrap this up in just a moment here. Beginning at verse 24 of chapter 10, the book of John, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, he says, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. You are not the elect. You are not the chosen of God. He says, as I said unto you, my sheep, my elect, my people. Over in the Old Testament, he says, I will be to them God, and they will be to me my people. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Folks, the sprinkling of the blood of Christ alludes to the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb on the mercy seat in the Old Testament. Picture that as the high priest. Again, this goes hand in hand with the message to come. But the high priest goes in behind the veil. Now remember, that veil was very thick. You couldn't see any part of any light on the other side of it. Nobody could see in. And only that high priest could go in, and he had to go in with blood. And that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He went in with his own blood and sprinkled it on his own mercy seat, a picture of himself. Jesus Christ is our mercy seat, and his blood is sprinkled on the altar. In fact, he is that altar and he does the sprinkling. So it is always comes down to this: salvation is of the Lord. He that glorieth, glory in the Lord. Amen. Brother.